Are you guys happy to be in the house of God? Well, I know I am. You know why? Because God is doing amazing things. In the first service, we've seen 7 people give their life to Jesus. That's an awesome thing. And I believe God is going to do some crazy things here this morning. Well, before I start my message, I want to tell you a little story about this cat and mouse. Okay, they were living together on earth, chasing each other. And one day they died together on the same day and went to heaven. All right, when they got to heaven, after a couple of weeks, a little mouse meets St. Peter, and St. Peter says, hey, how do you like it here? And the mouse says, listen, it's great, but the heaven is so big, I wish I could have some rollerblades. So St. Peter says, fine, no problem, any desire, boom. So the mouse has rollerblades now. After about a couple of weeks later, St. Peter meets the cat. And says, how you doing, Mr. Cat? And Mr. Cat says, I'm doing great. And when I thought that things couldn't get better, I saw meals on wheels. Okay. We're in a series called The Science of what? Happiness. And today, we're going to open our Bibles and read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36 to set up this message. Ready? It says this. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. When you walk in confidence, you receive a special reward that comes with confidence. Would you agree? When you lack confidence, you steal something from yourself, and mainly the reward that God has for you. Okay? So Bible says, do not throw away your confidence. How many of you have ever thrown away your confidence because of something you did? How many of you made a mistake and that's it? Your confidence was gone. How many of you threw away your confidence because somebody else said something about you? You know, 200 people could say, Pastor Alex, great message. And then one person writes something and says, well, I think you were theologically incorrect, Pastor Alex. If you're correct then, and you're like, oh, that's it, I want to quit. And God says, hey, don't throw away your confidence. God wants you to be confident because in confidence there is a reward. And listen to this, verse 36. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So when you walk in confidence, God is starting to fulfill promise in your life. When you lack in confidence, when you throw away your confidence because somebody said something or the devil make you think something, you miss on your reward. Amen. When I was 17 years old, God told me to start a business. And you know what? My mom, who loves me unconditionally, I believe, right? Your mom too. She said, hey, listen, you shouldn't start a business. And I'm Ukrainian, from Ukrainian background. And business and demons sound this kind of close in wordplay. So it's like business, you know, she would say. And so she would like, go get a job at a Hy-Vee and work like everybody else your age, 17. And I was like, but I feel like God wants me to do this. And he's blessing it. Nothing wrong with working in the Hy-Vee. But I've done a share of working in restaurants and things like that. And I didn't want to work in a restaurant anymore or Hy-Vee. I wanted to do my business. And you know, I'm so glad that I didn't allow that to shake my confidence. Because after 19 years, God has blessed the business. And now I'm not there anymore. And it's still growing and it's still being built. Don't throw away your confidence. Young people, don't throw away your confidence. God has a reward, a promise for you. But don't skip on it because of your confidence. I believe confidence will make you happier than when you don't have confidence. And that's why we're in a series called The Science of Happiness. Let me ask you a question, guys. What do you want out of life? Most people, if they're honest, they will answer and say, I just want to be happy. I told you about my friend Mike. And he said, I just want to be happy. The reason most people want to get a big house, big savings account, a nice car, a good job is not because they cherish or treasure it as a value, but because we believe that these things will bring us happiness. Happiness. In the United States, we have created for ourselves an unbelievable amount of wealth. Would you agree? We are the wealthiest nation, and one of the wealthiest nations in the world. The land of opportunity, where immigrants like myself could come and start a business in 17 and succeed. Where anybody could succeed. It's still the land of opportunity, guys. I'm the witness to that. A man who didn't speak much English. I'm better today. Still got an accent. But if I could succeed, if I could pastor an English church that has many countries represented here, you can succeed too in this nation. It's all about your confidence, and it's all about believing what God says about you and not what the world says about you, what political parties say about you, what people who want to keep you in poverty and what Satan says about you. You have to believe what God says about you. And happiness comes from confidence. You know that in our nation, we are the richest people in the world. Did you know that? We have the most amount of wealth. We have the biggest houses in the world. We have more flat screen TVs than anybody in the world. Even the poorest of us have many TVs in their rooms. Did you know that? And so, and yet, you would think that we would be more happier. Sometimes you go to a third world country on a mission trip, and you see these people so happy, and you wonder for yourself, to yourself, God, why is it they have so little? I mean, they live in these small shacks, but they're so happy, easygoing, you know, chill. And you come to this place and you're like, we have so much and we're so not happy. We as a nation have created for ourselves unbelievable technology. Everybody in our nation has a car. Even a 14-year-old who just learned to drive has a vehicle. I mean, if you're not an addict, you know, who spends all his money on you know, addictions, you probably have a vehicle. You probably have a place to live. Most. I'm not talking about exceptions today. You know, there is always an exception. But most of us, we have technology in our palm of our hand. Bible says God holds the world in his hand. And we hold our world in our hand. Right? Something that will play our music, play a sermon, play Bible for us. Something that will take pictures and videos. And we can do business. We can transfer money from account to account. I mean, guys, we have technology only before our parents only thought it was science fiction. Mr. Spock, right? Only he had that technology. Now all of you have that technology. But are we happier? People live longer today. Much longer today. People are more comfortable today. Much more comfortable. Our knowledge has increased to the level where it's impossible to grasp. And you would think we would be more happy. As life got easier, the use of antidepressants went higher. Went actually through the roof of people who are so depressed, so unhappy. Why is it that when we have so much, we're happy so little? Why? And so today, we're going to look at keys to happiness. And we're only going to get to one key. And later I'm going to give you more keys to happiness. But today, first key to happiness. You ready for this? First key to happiness is happy people like themselves. Do you like yourself? I want to read you a quote. It says this, happiness is looking in the mirror and liking what you see. You would think it's not a big deal, right? You know, we all love ourselves. But really, I know in my personal life, and I know about you, that in many areas, you don't like yourself. You know, sometimes I used to look at my attitude, my personality. Can I say my person, not attitude, personality. I'm kind of I speak then think maybe sometimes. Maybe you're like that. And I used to hate myself because I would be so fast. I would be like in your face, you know. I would say something to a person and then I'm like, I remember being 14 years old and telling this lady she did a haircut. And I heard my mom say, I liked her better with her long hair than short hair. So guess what? I came to her in church and I say, listen, lady, I like you better when you had a long hair. And I don't think you look, yeah, I think you look like, and she dyed it black. And I said, I think you look like a crow. 14 years old kid. I would, later when I would grow up and I would begin to notice these character traits about myself, I realized I hated myself. And because I hated my character, I hated what God created me to be. And so I always wanted to be somebody else. Am I talking to somebody? Don't leave me hanging, please. And so I wanted to be like my friend who was nice and kind. But you know what, my friend, nice and kind, he never really did anything with his life. And my personality, if you look at my life, I try to hide all the things I'm doing. Because people are like, no way, he's just showing off. My personality is just, I can't sit still. I got to do something. I got to go somewhere, you know. And so happiness, happy people like themselves. I know a guy who, when he was about 20 years old, decided that his face didn't look good on pictures. And so what he did was, he stopped taking pictures, or allowed taking pictures of himself, for like 10 years. And after about 20 years, he looked at himself when he was in his 20s, and he said, man, I was a good-looking kid. And then he started hating himself. He said, why was I so hard? Why wouldn't I take any pictures? There's almost no pictures of me in my 20s because I thought I looked weird. And now that he is in his 40s, he thinks that he looked great. And now he won't take pictures either because... And then when he's 60, he'll look at when he's 40 and he'll think, man, what a fool I was. You know, we got all these little things that going on in our head. And that's why we are so unhappy. Oh, please don't take a picture of me. Oh, I wish my face was skinnier or more symmetrical or whatever you're wishing. But today, the key to happiness is happy people like themselves. Happy people are okay with themselves. I told you I used to think my head was flat in the back, and it is a little, but I noticed that a lot of people have a flat head in the back. So it's normal. So what the, you know, why was I so self-conscious? You know, I'll be standing over here in worship right here and be thinking, oh man, I wish I could hold my one hand up. Right? And you have those things. Many times we stand in worship and we're like, I can't raise my hands because what if they see my fluffy, what are these, wings? Oh, whatever it is. Oh, what's wrong with my hair? And we're so self-conscious, we can't worship the Lord. And when we can't let go, we can't experience the fullness of God. And then we're like, oh, I don't experience anything. Because you're too focused on yourself. Get out of yourself and focus on God. Get out of yourself and focus on other people and watch how happy you become. The trick to happiness is to like yourself. Accept yourself the way you are. Amen. Today, I want to give you 12 things. And I'm going to go quickly through them. Because in order to like yourself, you have to look at yourself from God's point of view. Listen to me. In order to like yourself, you got to look at yourself how God looks at you. How does God look at you? What does God think about you? Amen. Amen. So, are you ready for these 12 things God thinks about you? Number one, God wanted you. Okay? Maybe someone here was born and your parents didn't want you. And that's a terrible tragedy that they would even tell you that. Sometimes parents get angry and tell their kids, I never wanted you. And that's so hurtful. That's so life destruction. Amen. When God created you, He wanted you the way you are, the way you look. He wanted you to be the gender that you are. He wanted you to be the color of skin that you are. He wanted you. Let's open to Genesis 1, 26 and 28. It says this. Then God said, let us make man. It wasn't an accident. You are not an accident. Even if your parents think you were an accident or a surprise, okay? That's a nice way to say it. That's a right way to say it, actually. But God said, let us make man. Who was us? That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three of them got together and they said, let us. They agreed. See, God created everything already. Birds, fish, animals, plants, everything. And He looked and said, it's good, but not enough. We need to create the pinnacle of creation. The top, the best, the greatest thing of the creation, God says, let us create man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God says this world needs a master. This world needs a protector. This world needs somebody who will take care of this garden that God created. And that's why I said it in the first service. I didn't plan on it, but we got to take care of this planet. We got to be nice to this planet. When you change oil in your car and you live in a country, you cannot just open the plug and let it run down and then cover it with dirt. Amen? Because God made you a steward of the earth. God says you need to be kind to the animals. An animal that works like an ox needs to be fed and rested. You cannot abuse animals. When I was younger, I used to go shooting birds. I told that in the first service. Some of you here in the second service. But I used to go shooting birds. And I had no problem shooting birds. Not to eat, but just for fun. Have you ever done it like, what are those, sparrows? Whatever. I'm not proud of it, so don't judge me. I was young and stupid, okay? But I would go and shoot birds. And then one day, I saw a bird, and I just saw part of it. And I felt like God says, are you going to eat it? If you're not going to eat it, don't shoot it. I'm like, I'm not eating that, you know. God says, don't shoot it. Don't be cruel to animals. And that's why when one of the kids, I see kids being cruel. My little daughter, you know, she's little, so she grabs a cat and she throws him out of the house sometimes. And I'm like, don't ever do that. Don't touch the kitty. Be nice to the kitty. We are stewards of this earth. We are the top of God's creation. So listen to this. How does God look at you? He wanted you. You're a wanted child. So you could be happy. You're not just something God made a mistake. You are wanted by God. You are made in God's image, meaning you're not made in a monkey's image. Amen. You are made in God's image. God cares for you. He wanted you. You see how it makes you more happy knowing that? I'm wanted. Does it? It makes me. I'm wanted. I'm not a mistake. Amen. Number two. Are you ready for this? God honored humanity. I want to read something that says, let me read the last verse. Genesis 1:26-28. Genesis 1:26-28. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Next verse, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God honored you, but not making you like a monkey or a gorilla. God honored you and made him make you in his image. You want to know what God looks like? Look at your neighbor. Look at yourself in a mirror. If God honored you, we could have been something totally weird. You could totally had a lizard's head or something. You know, and be ugly. But God didn't want you to be that way. God wanted you to be who you are. Amen? Amen. Did you know that if a person, what does it mean to be made in the image of God? You know, as parents, we make children in our image. They look like us. Somebody said the other day, your daughter looks so much like your wife. And they just saw her, my wife, in the picture. But they saw my daughter. So my child looks like me. Your children look like you. They have your behavior even sometimes. Amen? So when God created you in the image of God, that means you are a child of God. You are a little God. Let me show you. What? You are a little God. Did you know that? Let me show you a verse. Psalm 82:6 says this. I say you are God's. Notice it's a little g. So don't think of yourself with a big g. But what an honor, right? You are God's, and you are all children of the Most High. See, God didn't just create some robots. He made children. Those children later rebelled against him, but he sent his son to get him back. That should make you happy. You got to look. In order to be happy, you got to look at yourself, not how the world sees you, not how the devil sees you, not how you think about yourself, but how God thinks about you. It will change everything in your life. Amen. Number three, you are God's masterpiece. Ephesians 2:10 says this, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. You are not a blob of flesh and information. You are God's masterpiece. You know how sometimes you make one, two, three, and then you say, nah, but then you make something really great and you say, that's my masterpiece. That's what represents me. So when God looks at you, He says, you are my masterpiece. Have you ever thought of yourself with all your imperfection, looking at your body and say, I'm God's masterpiece. My face is God's masterpiece. My hair is God's masterpiece. My body is God's masterpiece. My teeth are God's masterpiece. That's how God thinks of you. And that should make you smile, somebody. Amen. If you don't smile, I'll be looking at your little thing and see that you're smiling. When Adam and Eve committed the greatest sin, they rebelled against God. They disobeyed God and believed God's enemy, Satan. God didn't kill them. And that's a big deal. Let me give you a little bit of theology here. Instead of killing Adam and Eve, and God promised that He wanted to, that He said, if you eat of this tree, you shall surely die. And God is not a liar. So God had to come up with another plan. And so what God does, He goes and kills two lambs, two animals, takes their skin and covers Adam and Eve. You want to know where sacrifice idea came from? God. Otherwise, we would not be here on the earth. Adam and Eve would have been dead, kaput. They would have been done. Amen. But God says, I love them so much. I find delight in them. I find pleasure in them. And they're so cute. And yes, they're messed up, but they're so cute. Just like you look at your kids, right? Two-year-old. And they could be so... And you're like, but they're so cute. I can't kill them. Let me kill a lamb. Right? And let it be on their behalf. And later through history, people would practice sacrificing of animals. But the sacrifice of animals was not enough, Bible said. You know what sacrifice of animals was? A symbol. And really, if you think about sacrifices of animals in Old Testament, they killed an animal, they burned fat, and ate the rest. So really, it was like a big shish kebab party. But it was designed for a purpose. What was the purpose of sacrifice? It was to show that there needs to be somebody needs to die so you don't die. It happened in the Garden of Eden, people. God didn't want to kill His beautiful kids, Adam and Eve. But He said, somebody has to die. And so sacrifice was only a symbol pointing to something else, something way bigger. Because animal was not enough to cover my sins, your sins and my sins. It's not. So later on in history, God sent His Son. And Jesus became the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen. Come on, somebody. And so God said, hey, do these sacrifices, but they're just a symbol. Eat the meat, whatever, enjoy, you know, the steak. But just remember, there's going to be the one who comes. Why don't we have sacrifices today? It's been done. Who? Jesus. So you don't need no more sacrifices. Jesus has done it all, covered for your sins. He died on your behalf and my behalf. It took God to die for whole humanity. So I, if I believe in Him, if you believe in Him, will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Somebody say amen. You understand why the sacrifices then? Why was there a sacrifice? Because you look and you say, God, you're so mean. No, He's not mean. He cares for you. It was going to be you or the animal. Well, animal had nothing to do with it. It was going to be you, but He loved. You see what I mean? He says, okay, the animals will die, but you will live. Amen. You got to look at yourself differently. You want to be happy? Science of happiness is you got to look at yourself how God looks at you. Jesus, later on, comes on the scene 2,000 years ago, and He says in Luke 12:7, He says, you're more valuable than lilies of the field and birds of the air. Here Jesus said, you know how our society says all animals and people are the same level. We're all, how do they say, we have all same life and, you know, but no, Jesus said this, He says, human beings are more valuable than many birds. Wouldn't you agree? If somebody kills a bird, well, we might find them if it's an eagle or something. But if somebody kills a human being, the life of a human being is much more valuable because we're made in the image of God. And that's why Satan doesn't care about the animals. He wants you to worship animals, but he wants you to mistreat your neighbor. He wants you to hurt one another because you're made in the image of God. And Satan cannot touch God, but the only way he thinks he can hurt God is by hurting you. That's why God gets so mad in the Old Testament, because Satan deceives other people to hurt his children. Amen. But Jesus said this, but the very hair of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. You're more value than many sparrows. So that's how Jesus looks at you. One day, David, you know who David was, right? He was a shepherd boy at first. He was forgotten by his father. When prophet came to their house and says, I'm going to anoint next king. I'm going to empower next king in this home. Father brought seven of his oldest sons and forgot David with the sheep in a stable, in a stinky stable. And so God chooses David. David kills the Goliath. Shepherd boy, nobody kills a Goliath. Then he becomes a warlord. Then he becomes the king of Israel, one of the greatest kings of Israel, man after God's own heart. And one day David penned something, and I want you to think about this because this is great. And I was like, David, how did you come up with these words? What made a man say these words like that? And listen to what he said. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous. These words are so abused. Did you know wonderful? The word wonderful is mentioned in the Bible, and it's set aside for Jesus Christ himself. You know, in Isaiah, when Isaiah prophesies about Jesus, he says, his name shall be Wonderful Counselor. And here David says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So pretty much David says, I'm wonderful too, because I'm made in the image of God. I think David was so overwhelmed by what God has done, taking a small shepherd boy and making him a king of the God's chosen people, making him victorious in all his battles. I think one day David looked at himself and said, God, wow, look, how did I? Guys, there was no schools or colleges in those days. There was no martial arts training or training in the weapons of wars and things like that. How did David, a shepherd boy, became this machine? I think David was looking at himself and says, man, I'm a machine. I've fought so many battles. I fought the Goliath, and I'm still here. And I'm sure he had nicks and cuts and arrows, you know. You know, I read a story about Alexander the Great. He kind of reminds me of David. And you know, he was wounded like seven times in one battle with arrows. And he would just pull them out or break them and keep fighting until he would get, and it would take months for them to recover after a war. You would think it'd just be easy. But these guys, like David, would go into battle first in the first rows. And David looked at himself and says, God, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Have you ever looked at yourself like that? You should. You should. You'll have a different perspective about yourself. You'll become more happier. See, we believe these lies that we hear or that other people tell us. And we don't believe what God says about us. You're awesome. Not because you're something, but because God honored you in such a way, made you a human being. Your life is valued. You are valued. You are important. He has a purpose for your life. And don't you dare believe anything else. Don't you dare believe, well, I'm messed up in my life. Well, great. Forget about that. Paul says, I forget those things behind me. Paul says, I'm a murderer in my past life. Well, in this life, actually, but before the salvation. Well, what we call our past life is before you're saved. Before, B-Y-S. Before you're saved. Okay. All right. Amen. Are you guys enjoying this? Amen. Amen. So David recognized something. I'm a complex being. You are a complex person. And God shaped you and formed you. And he loves you. and he smiles upon you. In Leviticus, I think it's written that may his face shine upon you. Have you heard of that phrase? Maybe in Lutheran church when they do homily at the end or something, they say may his face shine upon you. You know what that means? It means may he smile upon you. God, when he looks at you, he smiles. Amen? Let's keep going. I'm going to give you more. And I know I got a few minutes left. Did you know that God made you a little lower than himself? Let me read a verse. Psalm 8, 4 and 5 says this. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? Next. For you have made him a little lower than the angels. Okay. That word angels is not angels in Hebrew Bible. Hebrews were afraid to name God, speak the name of God. So they wrote angels. But that word in that angels place means Elohim. You have made him a little lower than Elohim. Elohim is the name that God has. It's the highest name of God. So listen to what God says about you. And some of you are like, yeah, Pastor, but I'm going to drive this till you believe it. All right? So you have made man a little lower than Elohim, meaning God, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. That's why humanity has achieved what we have achieved. And this is just the beginning, guys. In 100 years, if we're still alive, humanity is going to achieve so much more. Why? Because you're just a little lower than God. On the scale of God and in a bug, you're just a little lower than God. Amen. And that's how you got to think about yourself. See, it's not pride to think about yourself as you are. It's pride to think of yourself something other than you are. When you start believing that I got to be like this person or this person to be happy. See, but it's not pride to think, yeah, I am who I am. I am Alex. I'm a pastor. I'm a business owner. I'm a husband. I am blessed. It's not pride to believe that. Amen. And that's how you got to think of yourself, guys, because happiness comes from knowing who you are, being okay with who you are, and liking who you are. Amen. He loved you so much that from beginning of history, God has been thinking of you and how he can reconcile you with himself. Listen to this. Bible says in John 3:16, if you're not familiar, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he gives up. One of the Trinity of God, one of the gods, comes down and says that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God has been planning to reconcile you and me with himself. And what a glorious day it was for me when I was 19 years old, God reconciled me to himself. I have never regretted it. I have never regretted it. And some of you have been reconciled a month ago. Stay strong. He's reconciled you with himself, guys. And maybe today you have never reconciled with God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to reconcile with God. To have peace with God. But that's what God thinks about you. Praise God. Next one. Number 10. He loves us as much as he loves Jesus. Oh, this one changed my life forever. When I discovered this verse, John, I think it's 17. Come on, guys. Put it up. 23. And it says this. The last part. And have loved them as you have loved me. Let's read that. I and them, Jesus says, and you and me, God and me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me. And have loved them. Who is them? Us. As much as you loved me. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. Perfect one. This one verse, guys. I don't know, maybe 7-8 years ago changed everything in my life. My personality, I don't have the most easygoing personality. You know this, LaVar. You know how many times I wanted to be like LaVar? LaVar is just so cool, so happy all the time. He makes people laugh, and they laugh at his jokes. And I'm like, man, I'm so serious all the time. You know, and I'm so driven all the time. But then I discovered this verse, and I couldn't believe it was in the Bible. When I heard Kenneth Copeland say,
that God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. I didn't believe it. I said, Kenneth, you were just prosperity gospel preacher, and you just made this up. So I went and searched it. Being a Christian for a long time, even being a pastor, I didn't know that verse. But when I found that verse, guys, changed everything for me. Listen to this. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And then later, although I knew this verse, I couldn't believe it. So I started quoting this verse 50, 100, hundreds of times a day. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. And my thoughts always go negative. Something bad is going to happen. And I said, God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. And my thoughts is, back of your head is flat. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. You're gaining weight. You're cheeky like your mama. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Yeah. You blew a tire in driving. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. This is nothing. I don't even remember the tire. The starter went bad in my car. God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. Every day I would repeat it, because sometimes we know the truth, but the word does not become flesh. The word doesn't become a part of us. And so we hear it and we're like, oh, great. But it doesn't do anything. Bible says the word became flesh and dwelled. It has to dwell. May the word of God dwell in your heart richly, Bible says. That's one verse that could change everything for you and level of your happiness. If you discover that God loves you, if you believe, if you digest that God loves me as much as he loves Jesus. I feel the presence of God in this place right now. I believe God wanted you to hear this. I believe God wanted me to tell you this, that he loves you. You as much as he loves Jesus. But I'm not perfect, Pastor. Stop it. God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. And he'll work out the imperfection. Yes, he knows you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And he'll take care of that. But he wants you to have consciousness. Guys, God wants to have in your consciousness a new thinking. I am loved unconditionally. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 11. God has not stopped thinking about you since he created you. And even before he created you. Psalm 139, 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts for me. David says that. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Next, 18. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand on the seashore. When I awake, you're still with me. God has not stopped thinking about you. You know when you love somebody? Have you dated before, right? And you think about them. You can't stop thinking. You have so many great feelings and thoughts about that person because you love them, right? Some of you are still in love right now. And you haven't got married and you're like thinking, about them. And those thoughts are not angry thoughts, like she forgot to pay the bill or something, or he needs to get a job. It's the thoughts that, great thoughts. Well, when God, see, made you smile. When God looks at you, when God has not stopped thinking about you since before he created you. Wow. And you know what Satan does? He says, I hope they don't discover this. I hope they don't discover this, because they'll start thinking how God starts thinking. They'll connect to the radio wave of God. You know, when you tune into the radio wave of God and you begin to hear what God hears and think what God thinks, I hope they never discover this truth that God thinks about him. So guess what he does? He gives you his thoughts. He turns on the tape of negativity in your brain and just keeps playing in circles, playing in circles, so you wouldn't know who you are. Man, can you believe it? He thinks of you, his thoughts for me, and you are like the sand. Makes me happy already. Man, why don't we think about this? Why do we always think that we're losers, that we're nobody? That he's a player, that she's a whore, or he's broke all the time. Why do we always think like that? God doesn't think of us like that. See, God thinks of us in faith, not in even who we are. That's why I'm going to give you a little clue what happy people do. Key to happiness in like next week's is to think through faith about yourself, to walk in faith. Amen. And we'll have the whole another message about that. God has not stopped thinking about you since he created you. God did something extraordinary. And first service didn't get to hear this. And you guys will. Isaiah 49:16. You got to hear this. See, God says, I have inscribed you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before. God says something. He says, I have inscribed you. When you buy a battery in a store sometimes, they have this little inscriber thing. That's how I imagine it. It's this little vibrating needle, and they write, you know, the date and stuff on it. God has put your name on the palm of his hand. See, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by this God. What is man? That's all the words that I get, that you're mindful of him. And the Son of Man, that you visit him. You have made him a little lower than Elohim. You have crowned him with honor and glory. What is man that you wrote my name on his hand? He can't erase it, guys. It's written already there. It's inscribed. You can't erase. It's not written by a pencil or a pen that disappears. It's inscribed. It's scraped out on his hand. Thank you, God. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by this. How can I be depressed? How can I be when creator of the universe? Okay, let's go on. If God loves you so much, why don't you love yourself? William Gladstone said, be happy with what you have and are. Be generous with both what you have and what you are, and you won't have to hunt for happiness. Why don't you love yourself? Why don't you like yourself? Answer, because many people live under the curse of failure. We have a cursed consciousness. Listen to me, and this is big. This is theology. We are no longer under the curse because Jesus Christ has set us free from the curse. But our thinking is still under the curse. Paul has a weird scripture, and you have to study it. I'm just going to mention it. He says there's no more consciousness of sin. As a believer, you shouldn't live under condemnation of sin. You shouldn't live under guilt. You shouldn't live under whatever you're living under. Depression, you should have a new consciousness. Bible says you should think on those things that are good, that are lovely, that are worth thinking about. New thinking. Why do we still live under a curse of our consciousness when we're not under the curse anymore? Many people, because of this cursed consciousness, become perfectionists and don't give themselves a break. I have to be perfect. I have to be perfect. That's curse of consciousness. You got to get rid of it. You're not perfect. In heaven, you'll be perfect. But here, you're going to be broken, and your happiness cannot depend on your imperfection. Amen? I know that I personally, because I felt like I have to be good in order for God to love me and accept me and bless me, I started becoming a workaholic. My workers would say, man, it's 5 o'clock, it's time to slow down, and you want to tackle another tree. Remember that, Andre? Ricky would always say that. You gotta be kidding me. I was a workaholic, wouldn't stop. I lived for a week, not for a weekend. Most people live for a weekend. I hated the weekends. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I lived for a week. Monday, yes, couldn't come fast enough. Friday, I was getting depressed because weekend is coming. How do you know you're a workaholic? Because you don't look forward to a weekend, to relax, to enjoy life, to enjoy the fruit of your labor. You're like, no, it's never enough. Amen. And so I never could enjoy life. Some of you are control freaks. Been there, done that. Imagine the pain and unhappiness that comes from those things. Imagine living with a person who is perfectionist, control freak, and workaholic. Man, I took my wife through a lot of crap. And I mean crap. You know why? I say that because I would always think she's not doing enough. I'm doing so much. I'm a workaholic. And everybody has to. See what I mean? But when I discovered that God loves me and it's not based on my performance, it's not based on my perfection, it's not based, I'm not in control. I am not in control. You're not in control. Man, I'm more chilled now. I'm still not chilled, but you know, not like LeVar, but I am more chilled now. LeVar, didn't you tell me the other week I was more chill? What'd you say? That's it. He says, I'm more relaxed, laid back. Andre still has work on it. Says to work on it. I'm just kidding. So many marriages are experiencing defeat because You don't like yourself. So many churches are being hurt because you never discovered who you are, and you're trying to be everybody else and do everybody else's job when you gotta be do you. When you gotta be do you, that doesn't sound good. When you gotta be you, amen. So many friendships fall apart because you don't like yourself. All kinds of compulsive disorders are rooted in this curse mindset. Drug addiction, alcohol addiction, chemical addiction, eating disorders, anorexia, obesity, money addiction, stinginess, gambling, sexual perversions are all of kinds of, and there's more list to that, because you don't like yourself. And you think, if I can sleep with as many women as possible, then I'm a man. No, you're already a man. Devil lied to you. You're man made in the image of God. You're a woman made in the image of God. And you need to find yourself. Listen, can I tell you, ladies, don't marry till you discover who you are and like yourself. Guys, ladies, don't marry a person of opposite sex, of course, that don't know who they are, don't like themselves. Well, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I want out of life. Well, go find out, and then we'll start dating. Okay? You see how important it is? Otherwise, you'll waste, and in our culture, see, in our marriage, we had 5 horrible years of marriage. Why? Because we made a decision. We're going to live in different rooms of the house, but we're not going to get a divorce. It's like an island. If we were both stuck on it and nobody could, you know, how do you divorce your wife, you know? Yeah, maybe you'll divorce her for a day or two, but you'll have to get back because there's nobody else. And that's kind of how our mindset was, you know, island, 2 people mentality. That's it, just us. But most people don't have that mentality. And you know what? Sometimes I've seen divorce after 6 months. So be careful who you marry. Be careful. I hope you know today how God sees you. I hope by knowing that, Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You will become more happier. This week, when the devil lies to you, when your husband lies to you, or says something negative, when your wife says something negative to you, say, God loves me. I'm honored to be a part of His pinnacle of His creation. I'm accepted. Jesus Christ has paid for all my sins, even the one I'm going to commit tomorrow. I don't want to, but human being imperfect. Amen? Did you guys enjoy this message? I want you all to close your eyes for a second and bow your head. I want to ask you, do you know this God that loves you so unconditionally? Do you know this Jesus who died on your behalf so He can pay the penalty of sin? You know, it should have been you. It should have been me on that cross. But God provided a sacrifice, and that was His one and only Son. That whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I want to give you an opportunity. I cannot close the service without giving somebody an opportunity to respond to this message. If you would like to give your life to Jesus today, if you would like to say, God, I need you in my life. I'm coming home today. I believe that you are God, my creator, that you sent your Son, Jesus, to die for my behalf. I believe, even if that faith is like a mustard seed, even if that faith is tiny speck, God accepts that. On the count of 3, if you want to give your life to Jesus, raise your hand and raise it high. And I believe God is going to come in and do a miraculous thing in your heart, and you'll never be the same. Maybe you walked away and today you feel like, God, I'm coming back home. Or you've never known Jesus and today you say, I want to start my relationship with God. On a count of 3, please raise your hand and raise it high. 1, 2, 3, please raise your hand and raise it high. Hallelujah. God loves you unconditionally. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I pray right now that every heart would be right with you. Every single heart would be right with you. That every single heart will rediscover how you think about them. I pray that your blessing would fall upon each person here, and that they would
know who they are. What is the inheritance they have because they believe in you. Father, I thank you for this awesome service. I thank you for all these people. Whatever is lacking or missing in their life, I pray that you fill it in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you for this awesome day that we had at New Life. Bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Somebody clap your hands and bless God.